So as we are probably on part, what shall we say, part 20, is God enough? And so the question I'm going to pose this morning, is God enough to keep your mind strong and focused in the midst of trials or in the midst of abundance? Sometimes we only think it's hard to focus when we're going through stuff. But what about when God is blessing you? What about when you have abundance? Can you keep your focus then? Can you keep your mind focused on God and not get distracted? So is God enough to keep your mind strong? Is the word enough? So we've talked about Job. Now we're kind of doing a comparison. We're going to go back to Job. But now we're kind of doing a comparison between Job and Paul. What was the difference? In fairness to Job, we know that was, most scholars say that was the first book that was written. So Job didn't have the benefit of anybody coming before him. So Job was like living this whole testimony and trying to figure out as he went along. Paul did have the Old Testament. Remember, Paul, he was a scholar in the Old Testament. So when things went rough for him, and then he had an encounter with Jesus Christ, which changed everything. So when we have an encounter with Jesus Christ, it should change everything as well. When Stephen got stoned, Paul was in the crowd watching, participating. But then Paul had an encounter with Jesus Christ and his life changed. We talked about it last week. Paul said he was beaten with the rod. He was shipwrecked. He was stoned. He had a thorn in his side, but he said God's grace is sufficient for him. So as we're going through, how do we keep our minds strong and focused? Now we find our way into Philippians 4 and 4. And Paul, remember, he's writing this while he's in prison. I think it's about 4 years before he gets his head cut off that Paul is writing this. Yes, about approximately 4 years before he gets his head cut off. But make a note also that Paul used every opportunity when he was persecuted. When he went through, he used every opportunity to glorify God. He told King Agrippa, "Man, I am blessed. I consider myself blessed. All this I'm going through, I consider myself blessed." That's a testimony. And so whatever, regardless of what we're going through, family, regardless, here's Paul in Philippians in prison. And verse 4, chapter 4, verse 4, Paul says, "Rejoice." Ah, thank you, Sister Vonnie, for that one, rejoice. "Be glad, be calm, be happy," is what the word rejoice means in the Greek. "The Supreme Lord always, and God always, and again I say, rejoice." Verse 5, "Let your moderation, let your graciousness be known unto all men." Why should we rejoice? Because the Lord is near. Verse 6 says, "Be careful," or "don't be troubled with anything or anybody." That nothing says, don't be troubled, don't be stressed out for nothing or nobody. Rejoice, be calm, be happy, be quiet, be still. The Lord is at near. Don't let nobody or nothing stress you out. Yes. Your job, your family, your kids, your grown kids, your toddlers, your spouse. Paul said, rejoice, be calm. Don't let anything or anybody stress you out. Why not? "But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." Take it to prayer. Beg God with thanksgiving. "Let your requests be made known unto God." And you already, I told you many times before, don't come telling me about your kids or your spouse or nobody, because I'm going to ask you, what's the question I'm going to ask you? Are you praying for them? Are you praying and fasting for them daily? If you can't tell me yes, then he says, "Make your request made known unto God." That's where you start. Because if you're praying for your spouse and your kids daily, it's going to change you. You cannot come telling me what your spouse is doing or what they're not doing if you're not praying for them daily. You can't tell me what your kids are doing. And kids, you can't tell me. Youth, you can't tell me what your parents are doing if you're not praying for them daily. Where are my youth at this morning? I got any? Amen, Rose and Harold. Amen. Verse 7, it says, and the peace of God, verse 7, the quietness, the rest, the harmony of God, said, which is supreme and passes all understanding. That word understanding means intellect. The peace of God passes all intellect. You can't figure it out. Either you have that relationship with Christ or you don't. You can't fake that. It passes, it's supreme, it's superior to all intellect, the peace of God is. Says you guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. So the peace of God, we allow the peace of God to, and that's an attitude, it's a connection that you have with God, it's an attitude that you have that you know that everything's going to be okay. Now, remember, Paul wrote the book of Romans before he wrote the book of Philippians. So when he talked about the mind, he was speaking from what he had already experienced. So look at Romans 12:1-2. So the only way God can have your mind, can guard your mind, is if you've renewed your mind. Because if your mind's not renewed, God can't guard it. It's all over the place. It's already gone. But your mind has to be renewed in order for God to guard it. In the education circles, all right, we have this thing, and Jay, you work with kids, and some of you work. So, you know, they talk about a growth mindset and a fixed mindset. If you got a fixed mindset, they say you can't learn nothing. So they talk to students. You can't come in school with a fixed mindset. You got to have a growth mindset. But God said you need to throw all that out. You need to renovate your mind. You need to renew that thing. We don't need your mind to grow if it's jacked up. We need the word renew means to be renovated like that complete home makeover. Your whole head need to be redone. All right, Jay, we know from experience it needs to all be done, thrown all out. Yes, this is the time you throw the baby and the bathwater out, okay? Because you got to get it renewed. God cannot guard your mind if it's not renewed. So here we go, Romans 12:1-2. A very familiar passage which deserves repeating. Paul starts off saying, I'm begging you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable, rational service, or worship. Okay, so before we get to the renewing of the mind, Paul is begging us, he's encouraging us, urging us, admonishing us. Present our body, which is our temple. If you don't know that, make a note that your body is the temple of God. And it should be a living and an active, lively sacrifice. So your body should be active, energetic, alive, and sacrificed. So what is that saying? God doesn't want you when you all burnt out and ain't got nothing left. And then you say, God, I want to be saved. Guys, no, that's not what Paul is saying. Paul is saying God needs you right now. Our young adults and our youth and those of us in between are way beyond. God needs us right now. See, because it gets really delicate, and we talk about it all the time. It's actually, I could say it's deep. We used to say it's deep and not complicated, but this one is kind of delicate and complicated. Because God doesn't want you when you're all burnt out. I need a living, active sacrifice. I need the best years of your life is what God is saying. And we talked about that deathbed confession. We kind of broke it down in Bible study where the word says if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, then you should be saved. But you all burnt out and you're on your deathbed and somebody's trying to get you to repeat the sinner's prayer. You can confess with your mouth, but that doesn't mean you believe in your heart. And we hoping that, oh, if they said it, they said they accepted Jesus Christ. But if you don't believe, if you don't trust in your heart, don't wait until then. God said, I need you right now. I need you active and alive serving me, a living sacrifice, which is your reasonable service, which is a form of worship. God says, you worship me by how you live each and every day. It's reasonable, it's rational, it's logical that you love God, you serve God, then it shows up in your lifestyle. We worship God how we live. You can't get around that. You can't fake that. You're known by their fruits. All right, so let's take it a little bit deeper. All right, let's go to 2 Corinthians. We're going to come back to the renewed. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Since we're talking about a living sacrifice, family, we got to understand that where we go, we are a living sacrifice. You know, it's been said we're the only Bible that some folks will read. That say 2 Corinthians? Okay, let's go 2 Corinthians 2 and 14. We worship God with our lifestyle. How was your worship this week? And then it gets even better. 2 Says we're living epistles. We're letters. People read us. 2:14. Now thanks be unto God, which always leads us to triumph. Somebody say amen. Somebody underline that right there. Oh, but I got to get the other part. In Christ. So God always leads us to triumph in Christ. Stay in Christ and you win. Stay in Christ and you win. Outside of that, you're on your own and you always lose. Because we know the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ. Stay in Christ. God leads us to triumph. Everything we go through, we win in Christ. And make known, make manifest the aroma of his word by us in every place. So what is Paul saying? That God leads us to triumph in Christ. He exposes his word through the aroma, the fragrance, through us in every place, underline every place. So God says that, or the word is saying that we have a certain type of fragrance. It's called a savior, a savor. I guess the fragrance would be savior. Well, what'd you guys wear? Chanel and Calvin Klein and all that. You should be wearing a savior. Old Spice. John, leave me alone, okay? Let me slide. Let me move over just a little bit. But it's in every place. All right. Okay, read this, Sister Kathy says, read this, so I got to read it. It says, we are a letter of recommendation. We are the representation of Christ. We are a living sacrifice. And we can't live right if we don't have our minds renewed or renovated. God leads us into victory in Christ and exposes, makes visible our fragrance, our aroma, our odor of his knowledge on how to live right through us in every place. Let me read that again because I went kind of fast. This is verse 14. God leads us into victory in Christ and exposes, makes visible our fragrance, our aroma. It's our odor of his knowledge on how to live right. So people are watching you. They don't know how to live for Christ. Then God says he sends his letter of recommendation, which is you and I. And just by our aroma, they see how to live right. And he says in every place, not just church, because y'all know the bless you, brother. Y'all know the easiest time to serve God is when? 9 to 10:30. Come on, brother. Yeah, you're right. 9 to 10. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Blessing, highly favored, brother. I'm good. Yes. Thank you. Between 9 and 10:30 Sunday morning, that's the easiest time to serve God. Bless you. Oh, I'm well, brother. Thank you. God bless you, too. Oh, it's easy, Sister Washington. It is very easy. But God says we take the fragrance into every place, not just church, our job, happy hour, the club, vacation, our home, at school. So the question says, read this. The question is, does God expect you and I to live right in every place? Oh, I'm on vacation, dude. I'm good, man. This ain't church. I'm on vacation. Man, this is happy hour right now. I need to chill out. Okay, I got to loosen up a little bit. All right. This is school. That's just for church. I don't have to serve God at school. Matter of fact, they tell you not to serve God at school, so I'm not going to serve God at school. No, man, that's church stuff, man. This is me. This is me time right now. God says every place. Our aroma, our odor, our fragrance on how to live right should be exposed in every place. Wow. That's what I was saying as I'm reading this, as I'm breaking it down, like, wow, Lord, this is hitting me too. Amen. If it don't minister, if I don't believe, it won't minister to me, how can I minister it to you? But look what he says, verse 15, for we are unto God a sweet savior, a sweet fragrance, a sweet odor, a sweet aroma of Christ. That's the living sacrifice. I was going to ask your neighbor how did they smell this week, but I'm going to ask you to ask yourself that. I'm going to ask you to ask yourself, how did you smell personally? Ask yourself. Think about Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Just think about you. What was your aroma like this week? What did you smell like this week? Look what he says in 15. Don't miss this. For we are unto God a sweet fragrance of Christ among them that are saved and among them that perish. He said, no matter who you're around, you need to be that sweet, sweet smelling fragrance, whether they saved or not. So if they cussing, you shouldn't be cussing. You're still the sweet smelling fragrance. Whatever they're doing, you're not doing, because you're the fragrance. You're the aroma. He said, no matter who you're around, whether they saved or not, whether you're at church or not, in every place and regardless of who you're around, you're a living sacrifice. At school, at home. The job, go to happy hour if you want to go, just because you want to be a team player. Okay, you're still the fragrance. They're drinking, you're not. You just being there. I don't know why, but you are. Okay? I don't know why, but you're there. Okay? I don't know why you're at the club, but you're there. But you're still supposed to be the fragrance. Yes. A team building, yeah. I don't know why, but you're there. I'm just telling you what the word says. Amen. God's challenging me too. You know, we're at the gym. And guys want to come say, man, I'm good. Go tell that to somebody else. I mean, you're still the fragrance wherever you are. I'm at the gym, man. I'm working out now. I don't bring God with me to the gym. Why? You need him. You should. The way you look, you need more than God. You need something. You need some Holy Spirit to get you. Anyway. Okay, right. All right, Tracy. All right. Okay, let's get back to the word, okay? But look at verse 16. It gets tough. It gets deep, but not complicated. So wherever we are, verse 16, he said, to one, we are the fragrance of death unto death. We remind them that we're sweet smelling, we're acceptable to God, and they're not. So we're a reminder that if you keep going the way you're going, you're going to spend eternity separated from God. And I said, it's called being salt. It's called being light. Yes. Yes. We're the salt of the earth. Yes. We're supposed to be salt and light, not sugar and spice. Come on now. He said, regardless of what they're believing, they're going to see you. It's a reminder that they need to get it together. If you're letting your light shine. On the other hand, the fragrance of life unto life. As we come in here, you guys, hey, reminder of the life that we have in Christ that never ends. Life unto life. Thank God we can sharpen each other. Thank God two are better than one. One falls, the other one can lift him up. It's life unto life. You can encourage, hey, don't give up. Hang in there. It's going to be all right. We win in the end.
Yes, yes, yes.
And it says, who is competent for these things? Who's competent to share these things? And he says, look at verse 17. For we are not as many which corrupt or which peddle the word of God. You got those who, be careful, we say, be careful. You got those out there just peddling the word. They're not really living it. They're just trying to make a dollar off of it. So we're not like them. They're corrupt. They're out peddling the word. We know that organized religion has done so much and damaged so many. But we're talking about a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. We're not talking about that other foolish stuff. That has distracted and confused so many people. You cannot fake a relationship with Jesus Christ. You can't. You can't fake an encounter with Jesus Christ. And if you're trying, the real you has to come out. It will come out.
Yes.
For we as not as many which peddle or corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, out of sincerity, from God, in the sight, underline, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ, or we share, or we preach in Christ, underline, in the sight. It says in the direct sight of God. So what is that saying? God sees everything. God sees it. So you can fake it if you want to, but Proverbs, we're reading this week in Proverbs, I think it's 15, somewhere around 3 or 4, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the good and the evil. You can con a con, you can fool a fool, but you can't get past God. God, it's in direct, whatever we do is in direct sight of God.
Yes.
And we share Jesus Christ and God's watching. Mm-hmm. Chapter 3, verse 1, Paul says, we are the letters of recommendation. That's what verse 1 says. You've all had to receive a letter of recommendation or ask for one and someone to speak on your behalf. God says when we walk in the room, people watching us, bless you. You are the letter of recommendation. God wants someone in your family to know about Christ. He sends you. And they read the letter of recommendation. It's you. I know that's a lot of pressure. God, why I got to be the letter of recommendation? I want to do my thing. The letter don't look too good. I would like to introduce you to, I'm writing this letter on behalf of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But don't look at my life because I'm still doing my thing, but he's good. But I'm doing this right now, so I'm going to get better later. But what kind of letter is that? You're not getting hired, I'm telling you. You're not making God. Nobody wants to serve a God like that. And we know that our testimony is strong and our lifestyle is even stronger. And when people see it and they read it and it's real, they can't deny a changed life. Let's say about the disciples. They were ignorant and unlearned men, but they took note that they had spent time with Jesus. You cannot deny a changed life. Not in Jesus Christ. So here we go. Let me finish this up. 3 and 2. He says, you are our letters engraved in our hearts, known and read of all men. No amens on that? You are the letters. Paul is saying engraved in our hearts. You're the letters. We couldn't send a letter. We had to send people. God has said, I'm sending you out. I'm sending people out. You are our letters that were written, engraved, inscribed in our hearts, known and read. Read easily to distinguish by all human beings. That word men is anthropos, which we get anthropology, but it's human beings. It says men read by, but you should be able to be read and distinguished, easily distinguished by all human beings. Known, made aware. They made aware, and you're easily distinguished as one of God, one of God's own, by all human beings. Verse 3, for as much as you are exposed and declared to be the letter of Christ, served by us, engraved not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. Not in tablets of stone, but in fleshly tablets of the heart. Oh, that's a beautiful thing. That's us. Boy, that's a heart. It's beautiful between 9 and 10:30 on Sunday, I tell you, boy. It's a beautiful thing. We got to take that with us, though. Monday through Saturday, we got to know who we are. We can't be ashamed that we are the living epistles, that we are the letter of recommendation for God. All right, so let's finish this up. Let's go back to Romans 12. And 2. Now you see why it's so important. Because if your mind don't change, your behavior is not going to change. If you don't understand who you are in God, then you're not going to live this. You're not going to be able to survive when things get tough. You're going to run back to what you know and who you really are. But if your mind has been metamorphosized and it's been changed and it's been renewed and renovated, then you'll be able to stand firm and live for God. Brother Chris Broussard says you be strong in the Lord. Only way we can stand strong is if we know this word. The only reason that we're defeated and our youth are being defeated and our young adults are being defeated is because they're not fluent in the word. They don't, if you can't stand on this word, if you don't know this word, when Wednesday get here, you're going to be falling apart. Thursday, you done. Friday, you the first one at happy hour. You forgot all about the message. Yeah, I'm there. Then Saturday, you try and pull it together and be back here Sunday morning. Talk about praise the Lord. I love you, Jesus. Got to be fluent in the word. Romans 12 and 2. And be not like, conformed. Don't be like this. Don't look like this world. See, now why? Paul's already told us we're living sacrifice. We're the living epistles. And he's saying, don't look like this world. But be ye transformed. Have a metamorphosis. Like that caterpillar that turns into a butterfly. It's a complete change. Stop crawling and start flying with God. But how do you do it? By the renewing, by the renovating of your mind. Family, I can't stress it enough. If there's no mind change, it all starts with the mind. It's not a fixed mindset. It's not a growth mindset. It's a complete renovation of your mind. And then, you know, you have the, as men, I mean, we have it tough. I can't speak to the women because I'm not a woman. Okay. And we're wired differently. I don't care what the world says. You do your research. And those of you know, if you've been married more than a day, you know that we're wired differently. Somebody say amen. We're totally different. And it's a good thing because God put us together to complement and to do his will and to work for him together. We thank God for that. We're supposed to be different. So we got to work together to move forward. But as men, we get all this foolishness that, you know, man, you, You're letting that church brainwash you. See, I can't speak for the women, but I think I said it before, speaking for the men, we need our brainwashed. Washed with the word. So I got to read this, Sister Kathy, for the men and ladies, you all can listen as well. Yes, we need to be brainwashed with God's word. After all the ungodly things we have seen and heard and experienced, we need our brains washed with the word daily. Through movies and music and pornography and strip clubs and jokes and stories, lies we've told, drugs we've been exposed to, alcohol, sexual fantasies that we've thought about or participated in, and you're telling me that the church is doing the brainwashing? Really? It's the church that got my mind jacked up? Really? Family, you and I will never know the will of God for our life unless a metamorphosis takes place in our minds. You will live a frustrated life and blame everyone else for where you are in life, but it is because you didn't have the desire or the courage to discipline yourself and allow the Holy Spirit to renew your mind. And this even applies when we're in the midst of our Job or Paul situation. And then think about it, family. We had the benefit of the word. We know that we win in the end. It is finished.
Yes, yes.
So let me finish with verse 2, back to 12 and 2. Don't be like this world, but be ye transformed, metamorphosized by the renovating of your mind, that you may test and be able to discern. That word prove means, in the Greek, means to prove and to test. To test and discern. You can't even discern what is the, when you have your mind renewed, you're able to discern what is the good and the well-pleasing and the purpose and the complete will of God. Family, if we don't have our minds renewed, we're walking through life and we don't even know what God, the will of God is for our life, the purpose God has for our life, because our mind's not renewed. We're still operating with a carnal mindset, and you can never get close to the will of God unless your mind is renewed. How will you be able to discern what is the good? Let me see. I wrote that down. What is the good, the honorable? How can you discern what is honorable, what is well pleasing, and what is finished and mature? The will, the purpose of God. If your mind's not renewed, you don't even understand the will of God when it comes to church, when it comes to your relationships, to your kids, your parents, your school, or your career. You don't know what the will of God is because your mind's not renewed. You're on a whole different page. And you're living a frustrated life. That's why it all starts with the renewing of the mind. God can't guard your mind if it's not renewed. And then we live that frustrated life because we didn't present our bodies a living sacrifice. We didn't renew our minds, and we go through life and we're falling apart each and every day because we refuse to have the courage to discipline ourselves. Okay, let's finish here. Philippians 4 and 4. So how do I renew my mind? What are the steps to renewing my mind? Amen. Somebody say amen. God didn't leave anything out. Paul says in Philippians 4:8, and he gives us the steps to renew our mind. He says, finally, brethren. And that's where we got to pick it up next week. If you would, let's just spend a few minutes in prayer before we go ahead and dismiss. John, give me some Yahweh. And Lord, we receive the challenge to renew our minds. We accept the challenge to renew our minds, Lord. Oh, my God. We don't want to be the same, Lord. So we thank you and we bless you, Lord, and we love you. Give us the courage to be that living sacrifice, to be that living epistle, to have a complete metamorphosis of our mind through your word, through the Holy Spirit, God. Teach us, Lord. Send those to disciple us, to mentor us, to encourage us, to strengthen us, Lord. Don't let us forget about you during the week, but let us stay connected to you each and every day. Let us confess and forsake and repent of the sin that we're in. God, we need to live right today more than ever. So we bless you, Lord, and we thank you and we love you. We accept the challenge to rejoice always. And again, I say rejoice regardless of whatever we're going through. Maybe someone's here, Lord, and they say, Pastor, my first step is accepting Jesus Christ. I've never accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Maybe that's the first renewing that you need to do. If you're here and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, elevate your hand. I'd love to pray for you. Saved means being rescued from death, hell, sin, and the grave. So maybe that's you. You've never accepted Jesus Christ. You're not sure if you're saved. Elevate your hand. You don't have to leave here today not knowing. If that's you, elevate your hand. We'll pray for you. Or maybe you're here and you're saying, Pastor, after the message, I haven't been living anywhere close to what God's called me to be. You want to rededicate your life. You don't have to raise your hand. You don't have to come up. That's just in the quietness of your heart between you and God. The word says if we confess our sins, that God is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So if you need to rededicate your life and get closer to God and get back connected with God, that's between you and God in your seat, in your heart. We thank you, Lord, that we can run to you. You forgive us of our sins. You died on the cross for past, present, and future sins, and we love you for that. There's no question about that, Lord. Help us to do better. Help me to get it right. We're in March, and I don't want to keep playing 2017 games, Lord. Maybe you're hearing you say, Pastor, I'm looking for a church home. I visited and I want to make it official. We're not really members. We're family. We're deeper than members. We're family. That's you. Elevate your hand. We'd love to make you part of the family through Christ Jesus here at South Bay Abundant Life Church. So, Lord, we thank you and we bless you. We love you, Lord, because there's none like you. There's nothing too hard for you. And I want to ask Xavier to come up because he's getting ready to go off to Texas. Come on up, Xavier. But Brother Chris, I want you to come up as well. Brother Chris Broussard. We want to cover both of our brothers because, Chris, we know you're out on the front line. And Xavier, you're on the front line and you're getting ready to literally be on the front line. And I want my men to come up and just surround these brothers as we cover them. Brother Ivy. The hair on. It's our goal, men, that we don't stab you in the back, but to have your back. And Lord, we just thank you and we bless you for Xavier. He goes out, Lord, and pursuing one of his dreams of playing football at the next level.
Yes.
We thank you, Lord, that you've brought him to this church and he's experienced your presence, your word, your worship. God, as he steps into that arena, literally and figuratively, cover him and keep him, Lord.
Yes.
Let us stay connected with him.
Yes.
Pray for his Uncle Jerry and
yes.
what he's meant to this church and this body of believers, Lord. We just want to cover, give him traveling graces there. Let him be a light. Let him be a living epistle. Let him be the letter of recommendation that Jesus Christ is alive and well, that he heals, delivers, and sets free. He changes hearts and renovates minds. And the only way through, the only way to heaven is through Jesus Christ. So let him be that light, Lord. You said we're the light of the world and we shouldn't be hid under a bushel. God, don't let him hide. Don't let him get comfortable. Don't let him hide. Smoke him out, Lord. Force him out. Don't let him hide. Let him make a decision either way, but don't let him hide. So we thank you for his life. Thank you that we have the opportunity to share this journey with him. We pray for our brother Chris, Lord, as he's out and taking a stand for Jesus Christ with a national men's movement all throughout the country and throughout the world, discipling men and encouraging men to live at a high level, at a championship level in Christ, not for a corruptible crown, but for an incorruptible crown that only comes through Jesus Christ. So as he's on the front lines, Lord, cover and keep him. Let him stay strong in the Lord. Always being aware of the spiritual warfare that we're in and the schemes and the spider webs and the tricks of the enemy, Lord. Let him live above reproach and above suspicion. As all men in this circle right here, Lord, let us live above reproach and above suspicion. There's no hidden agenda. We love God. We serve God. We're lights in the midst of darkness. We're going to walk strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, not on our own. So we thank you, Lord, that you called and created us as men to live for you. We accept the challenge as men. Give us the courage, the desire, and the strength to live for you, Lord. And we bless you because the work is finished. Says you lead us into triumph. As long as we're following you, Lord, we're on our way to victory. Don't let us lose sight of you, Lord. Don't let us lose sight of each other. Let us pray for one another. Hold each other accountable. Desire to be held accountable. Surrendered lives to you. Oh, we thank you, Lord, and we bless you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Stand to your feet. Give someone a hug. And you are dismissed. Appreciate you too, man. Oh yeah, yeah.
You got my money, right?
No, I didn't. You turned it in. You put it in. Okay, we got it. You got 65? Oh, we got it. Hey, Jay. Bless you, man. Thank you, man. You already know.
I'll be back. I hope you'll be back.
Oh, yeah, I'll be back.
I'll be back.
Keep me informed. Yeah, keep